We have two passages for us today. First one is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And then the second one will be from 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 19 through 23. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then 1 Corinthians, though I am free, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like the one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, that is the Gentiles, I became like the one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. All religions are human efforts to reach God. Religions assume that human beings are capable of reaching God, but the Bible paints a wholly different picture. The cosmic God is holy and transcendent. The gap between the Creator and the created is so great that God can never be reached by our efforts. The only way we can reach God is if God comes down to reach us. And that is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about God who came down to where we are. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. God is a spirit, and God is not bound by any physical form or force. God is absolutely sovereign and free. And yet, God chose to take on the human flesh and to pitch His tent among us. The phrase "made His dwelling among us" is that He tabernacled among us. The tabernacle was a tent of meeting. That's where God met with Moses and with His people. So Eugene Peterson famously translated this phrase, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." That's what God did. So we Christians do not believe in the reincarnation, but we believe in the incarnation, which is God becoming a human being. And why did God leave His comfortable heavenly throne and come down to live with us? The name Jesus reveals that God came down to save humanity. And what motivated God to come down and save His people? The answer is, of course, love. Though God said to His people, "I have loved you with an everlasting love," the Israelites, the Jews, they retort in the book of Malachi. They say, "God, how have you loved us?" Even God's own chosen people could not believe that God really loved them, because at the time, things were not going well for them. The Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard was a Christian, and in his philosophical fragments, he explains the meaning of incarnation in a parable. Suppose there was a king who loved a humble maiden, begins a parable. How could the king declare his love for this maiden? If the king appeared to her in all his pomp and glory to propose, the maiden might respond out of fear or coercion. And even after she was elevated to the position of the queen, would she still behave as a subject, cringing at his word and never disagreeing at his command? Or would she be happy at his side and love him for who he is and not for his power or wealth? The king thought that true love would not alter its beloved, but rather alter itself. And convinced that he could not appear as a king without crushing her will to choose, the king resolved to descend. He stepped off his throne, he took off his royal robes, and wrapped himself in shabby cloak, and he took on the life of a peasant for a while to win this young maiden's heart. And Kierkegaard wrote this parable to show why God came down to earth. Our Lord Jesus humbled himself in an effort to win our love. It says in Philippians chapter 2, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." In another version, it says something to be exploited. "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." God came down as a servant to human beings, and his act, ultimate act of service, was to give his life on the cross for sinners. And Jesus did so to demonstrate God's love for us. Many Christian missionaries and pastors have held the incarnation of Jesus as a model for Christian service. Of course, we cannot replicate what Jesus did. We cannot change ourselves to be something or someone else. But what they meant by incarnational ministry was that when Christian missionaries are sent to people of other cultures, they were to identify with the natives and serve and live with them, learn to speak their language, eat what they eat, wear what they wear, and respect their culture. One example of respecting the native culture is to let them serve and worship God with their own music and instruments. There has been cases where Western missionaries have sort of insisted and forced the natives to use Western instruments and worship God with Western music, and not allowing them to use their native music to worship God. But there are some who have taken this incarnational ministry to maybe too far, and they give the impression that it is more important to live out the gospel rather than to preach the gospel. And other people criticize incarnational ministry because it seems to put all the burden on the individual, not on the work of the Holy Spirit, to make Christ present in the world. And that unrealistic expectation leads to a quick burnout in people. Paul never used the term incarnational ministry himself, but Paul did have the mind of Christ. Though Paul does not tell us to do incarnational ministry, he does tell us to have the heart of Christ. In his letter to the Corinthians, he explains what having the mind of Christ would look like in his own ministry. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like the one under the law so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like the one not having the law so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some." You know, this may sound as if Paul is acting like a chameleon, deceptively changing his colors and hiding his own true color. But if that was what Paul was doing, then Then did Jesus deceive people in hiding his identity and by becoming a human being? Just as Jesus wanted to demonstrate God's love and save people, Paul also wanted to demonstrate God's love and save many people as he could. Paul was following the heart of Christ. He was following in the way of Christ. On the surface, the incarnation looks like an adaptation to different cultures and customs, but the core of the incarnation is about giving up one's right to serve other people. In 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul talks a lot about Christian freedom. The Corinthians thought that they were free in Christ so that they could practically do anything that they wanted, saying that everything is permissible. But Paul points out that it was their wrong idea of freedom that led to a division in the church. For Paul, Christian freedom is not thought as one's right, but as renunciation of one's right to serve others for the sake of other people. Though Paul is free, he voluntarily enslaved himself to all people, to the Jews, to the Greeks, to the weak in the church. Though I am free, I have made myself a slave to everyone. So Paul's way was the way of Christ, and it led people to more faith in Jesus. And Paul states the same idea of Christian freedom in Galatians chapter 5. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in yourself. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. We know that Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is truly free. He is the one who is to be served as the absolute king. And yet, Jesus gave up his right, his equality with God, something to be exploited. And Jesus volunteered to become a servant, even giving up his own life for us. Jesus is the one who used his freedom to serve and to save people. So Paul was not a chameleon who adjusted his practices to moral climate of the environment. He would never compromise the gospel. But Paul was a lover of all kinds of people. His love for people did not let cultural differences become a barrier. Because he made himself a servant to all, he was at ease with all kinds of people: Jews, Greeks, women, free or slave, people of all sorts of vocations. Because he made himself a servant to all, he was able to identify with others and love them as Jesus loved them. Whether we use the term incarnational ministry or not, all of us are called to have this mind of Christ and follow his way. The mind of Christ does not only appear once in Philippians 2, it appears again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 as well. I think in the back of Paul's mind, he probably thought as he was writing his letter, if only the believers treated other people with the mind of Christ, then things would be very different. The incarnation, like the crucifixion and the resurrection, is another crucial event that reveals the heart, the mind of Christ. Christ had all the power, glory, and freedom, and all the privileges as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he did not use his freedom to indulge in all his rights as God, but he renounced all his rights and privileges for our sake. And he used his freedom to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that is how much God loves you and I. That is how much Christ loves people, all kinds of people. On this day of Christmas, let us see and realize the great cost it took for Christ to come down to us. The cost of giving up all the rights and privileges of being equal to God. The cost of lowering himself as a servant to all human beings. The cost of giving up his life as a ransom to save people. The cost it took to demonstrate God's love for us. And let us thank God, thanks Jesus, and confess that we love Jesus because he first loved us. And we can also pray that we would have this mind, this attitude of Christ, that we would be willing to give up some of our rights to serve other people, that we would be willing to go outside of the self, to go outside of our comfort zone, to reach out to others with the good news, and that we would use our freedom not to indulge in ourselves, but to love our neighbors as ourselves. You know, we usually have a prayer to respond to the word. And in today, since it's Christmas, we want to do our responsive prayer in a little different way. You know, in the Jewish temple, there was an incense. And the incense was, it represented the prayers of God's people going up to the throne of God. And so we will offer up our prayers, our individual prayers. And, you know, this represents the manger that Christ came in today. And you have this index card with you in your bulletins. And you have little pens in front of your pews. And I'm going to ask all of you to just write one area in your life where you want more of God's presence. You know, it could be in your relationship with an annoying coworker, a relationship with your, your daughter or son, with your mom or dad, something in your life where you want more of God's presence. So let's just write that one area. And just like we do in communion service, we will line up and place our cards in the manger where Jesus was laid. And we will pray, and then I'll close. So I'm going to give you some time to write down one area of your life where you want more of God's presence. And then we will just come up and place our cards as an offering of prayer, who listens to our prayers.